Blog Talk Radio.
Get your house in order.
Coming back again. Glory be to God. And you know it's a blessing for us to realize that. Be prepared for Jesus coming back. Be prepared to go home with him. And I just think and I praise God for that. I was looking at that song on yesterday and I thought, oh my God, I haven't heard this in a long time, but it's such a true statement that should never leave our minds. And I just think and I praise God for that. And I do give honor to God, to his son, Jesus Christ, to each and every one here named by name. I'll be glad to be here thanking and praising God for life after stress, thanking and praising God for another Wednesday, a Wednesday that we never saw before. And as Brother D say, we'll never see again. But we thanking and praise God just for this day, for life after stress, and everything that he do for us day by day. And I ask you to pray my strength in the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Tim, will you open us up with a prayer?
No problem. Thank you, Sister Mary. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come humbly before you saying thank you for being our God and allowing us to be your people. Thank you for this show, Lord God. We ask that you will continue to bless it and that we will be able to strengthen our brothers and sisters, that we ask that you would bless our host today, Lord, and give her wisdom and understanding and comprehension and revelation of your word, that she'll be able to pour out to us your word, Lord God, and that we will be have nutrition, that we'll be able to move forward and have energy to live this life according to the way you want it to be lived. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just bless everybody who's at the sound of my voice, that they'll hear and understand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless this show.
Thank
Lord,
you.
Just pour your heart. Touch us with the fingertip of love. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us, and we thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We do thank God for that prayer, Brother Tim. It's always a blessing to start it off with praises to God and thanking him for his goodness and mercy. I just thank God for all things. Now, we're going to go ahead into the service on today. Praise God for you today, Brother Dean. We're going to go ahead into the service on today.
Amen.
And we're going to talk on spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And when you think about spiritual warfare, it's not a carnal fight, but it's a spiritual fight. So we're going to get into this lesson. It's going to go a little bit deeper into that. We're coming from 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5. For the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our second. 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Okay, verse 4 again says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, now, point of this verse is that we are in a spiritual warfare today. And every day of our lives on this earth, we are in a spiritual warfare. We got to realize that this is not carnal. It's not like I'm fighting somebody, a person that I can see. But this is a spiritual warfare where as you are fighting these demonic spirits, these spirits in high places, and these spirits that we cannot win if we don't have the Holy Ghost. We got to be fixed up in order to win this battle. You cannot win this battle in the carnal. You cannot win this battle as a regular human being. But you got to be in the spirit so that you can defeat Satan, because you can't do it. Satan is not a weak spirit, it is a strong spirit, and it has such a hold on us that we don't know how, sometimes don't want to shake it loose. Now, Paul said in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not rely on man-made plans to get the victory over the flesh. The flesh has no power against the wiles of the devil. Now, Satan's job is to destroy us before we can get salvation. Satan's job is to destroy us so we, when we die, can go to hell and be with him and burn eternally. But that's not God's plan. So we've got to be strong-minded so that we will go to heaven. Now, mind you, God is not making you do anything. He gives you a choice. He gives you a choice to live holy, and he gives you a choice if you so choose to go to hell. You hear a lot of people say, well, I'm going to hell anyway. And that just does something to me when I hear it and I'm thinking, this is not where you want to go. But you know, they won't realize or even understand what they're saying until they get there. You live all your life not serving God, not being obedient to him, turning your back on him, doing everything that you want, you think you're big enough to do, ignoring God. When you die, you're going to go to heaven? No, because you have not did any work. You know, your faith is also your work, but if you have faith in God, you're going to show that faith by your work. Not just by you speaking it, but by your work. And that's what God sees. See, now when you think about it, you're thinking about spiritual warfare. When you think about it, it was Abraham's work that God counted him righteous. It's our work that God is looking at. And we end up serving the devil and saying we got the faith in God. That's a lie and the truth not in you. Because you cannot serve the devil and sit up and say, I got faith in God. Where is your faith? Your faith is in who you serve. Your faith is in Satan, because that's who you serve and that's who you're going to work for. Glory be to God. Just like we working to make it to heaven, somebody's working to make it to hell. Not realizing the fierceness of the flame that they would have to suffer eternally. It's not even worth it. In verse number 4, Paul mentions strongholds that are destroyed by the power of God. These strongholds is when we are caught up in things that we can't shake loose. Okay, we always use alcoholic and this and that. You can have a friend that mistreats you, treats you like a dog, and still when they call you, you go running like you are so caught up with that friend that you can't even shake it aloof. That's a stronghold. Be you a drug addict, an alcoholic, a gossiper, a liar, a cheater, or what have you, that is a stronghold. And it's going to take the Spirit of God to loose those chains. Those chains will not come loose if you don't have faith in God. You won't be able to shake it. If you don't have faith in God, if you don't pray, and if you don't make up your mind, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to be with Jesus, if you don't make that up in your mind, you're not going to look back at the sins that you're caught up in so that you can pray and allow God to help you come out of it. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy. But, you know, I've seen preachers that at one time was drug addicts. But through their faith in God, through their prayer, through their determination, they were able to shake it loose. They was able to come out from under that drug and get themselves saved, sanctified, filled with God's precious Holy Ghost, and begin to teach God's word, preach God's word. Now, you know, when you have been through something like that, you got something to tell somebody. Glory, hallelujah. You got a testimony out of this world because you was able to shake that stronghold that without Jesus Christ, you could not have did it. So it's a lot of things that Satan have us shackled with. But we cannot get that shackle off of us without the word of God, without being prayed up, without reading the word. Because, see, we got to know the word. You got to read the word to get the word in you so that you can receive power. And the book of Acts tells us that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But you cannot receive the power if you don't seek the Holy Ghost, if you don't believe that God can save you, if you don't believe in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will not be able to shake it. Now, we also got strongholds like philosophies to different religions. But you know, when you know that you tell God and you got in the King James and whatever Bible you read lines up with the King James Bible, even if it's worded differently but mean the same thing, then you are in good shape because you got yourself at a point where you can be saved. But you got to read that word and you got to let that word get into your heart, into the marrow of your bones. Sometimes when we read the word, you can read it silently and you just don't seem to get it. But there are times you take that Bible and just read it out loud to yourself, and comprehension began to come to you. Everything that you're reading, God began to open it up to you. I don't know, sometimes when we read it to ourselves, sometimes we just can't get it. And I do that. Sometimes I read to myself, I'm like, wait a minute, what? And I go back and I read it aloud. And as I'm reading, I hear the word, and I'm able to receive and understand it. So we can't get caught up in these different religions that you know is not true. Some say Jesus didn't die. Some say he didn't rise again. You know, all this crazy stuff. Some say that this heaven and this filthy earth is going to be the new heaven and earth, which is not. Our Bible tells us that this heaven and this earth is going to burn, and it will be no more. There is nothing in this heaven and this earth that God wants any parts of, because it's too much filth. There's so much sin that is going on and has gone on and will continue to go on this earth, because everyone is not going to be obedient to the word of God. And then you have proud opinions. And when I look at that proud opinion, it just sort of reminds me of an arrogant person. A person that knows everything, you can't tell them nothing. They go, they have read the Bible, they have listened to their preacher, and there is no other preacher that can tell them anything.
Well,
but listen, a preacher can tell you the wrong thing out of ignorance and not understanding that particular thing. And when God sends somebody, because oftentimes he'll send somebody, even if they don't talk to them directly, even in the word, and they have proof of what they're saying, then that preacher will understand he misunderstood. That doesn't make him not a preacher. But it makes him wise when he accepts that he was wrong, apologizes his wrongdoing to his congregation, and correct it so that you won't be leading people astray. But the fact that you're so arrogant and so proud that nobody can tell you nothing because nobody's read the Bible but you. Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God give us wisdom to listen to what somebody else tell us and hear it. And if it feels right to you, research it and make sure it's okay. But if it don't feel right to you, don't take it in. Because it got to feel right. When it feels right, God is letting you know everything it's all right. And this, and even there are times that God himself will begin to talk to you and explain to you what you don't understand. So let's not be arrogant, because that's not pretty. It's not the will of God. God wants us to be meek and humble. Our Bible tells us the meek shall inherit the earth. God wants us to be meek and humble, but not to the point that nobody can tell us anything. I have sent other preachers that didn't preach right, and I soon got myself up out of there. Because you study the Bible, can quote the Bible, preach it and it sounds good, but then you take it and you change the word into suit yourself. That is not the Spirit of God. And anybody that's sitting up under that type of preaching needs to get up and run as fast as they can. Because it's not that. That's where your discernment comes in. And again, we're still talking about the spiritual warfare, because this is all included. But this is where your discernment comes in. That's why I still pray for discernment of spirits. That's why we need to pray for discernment of spirits, so that when somebody talking to us, our spirit will let us know this is not right. And don't override that spirit and be caught up in that junkin' mess that they're hearing, because it sounds good. God didn't write this Bible to sound good, but he did write it to feel good. He did write it to reprove us. He did write it so we would be right. And when we read that word and it hits us, it is for correction, for us to change what we're doing. This is the spiritual warfare. How can you fight the spirit of Satan if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the word, if you don't have power? You can't fight Satan because you don't have what it takes to fight him. You're not girded up. You don't have your helmet of salvation on. You don't have the word in you to strengthen you. And you can read that Bible every day and know it backwards and forward, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you still can't win that battle against Satan. Because it takes the power of God. When we open our mouths against Satan or with anybody, we got to do this with power. We got to have power. Because when you're talking to somebody that is not even in God and don't care anything about it, don't hear what you got to say, you got to have power when you open your mouth. And you can only tell them. You can't make them receive it. Notice, Jesus went about preaching and teaching everywhere he went. But for the ones who did not receive him, he did not fight them. He did not argue with them. He let them go. And that's what we have to do, not argue and fight. And anybody who's walking around with an arrogant spirit, pray and ask God to take it off you, because you don't want to be disobedient to God, where God won't even dwell with you if you're not careful. Because, listen, if anybody had a right to post their chest out, to be arrogant, to be more than anybody, would have been Jesus Christ, but he humbled himself. He didn't try to make a name for himself, but because he was the Son of God, God made a name for him, so that everywhere he went, people was running to hear the word. People was running to see that man that did so many miracles, people recognize this must be the Son of God. So we have to be careful how we carry ourselves. Because you have the Holy Ghost, I am no more than Brother Tim. I am no more than Brother Dog. I'm no more than Brother D or anybody else out there. Even if you're not saved, I'm no more than you. But I have the gift of the Holy Ghost, and I serve an almighty God. And if you serving Satan, that put me a step above you. But that don't put me to the point that I can't put my arms around you and say, God loves you. God don't want us to get so high that we turn our back on the ones that can be saved. Because we still got a lot of people that is not saved, that we still can reach. So we have to be careful about how we carry ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Said, let us who are of the day be sober. You don't have to be drunk, and I don't necessarily mean drunk all the time, but you can be so messed up in your mind that you're not thinking straight. You're not talking straight. It can be a lot of ways you cannot be sober. But it said, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. We got to have faith. We got to walk by faith and not by sight, because we cannot overcome the power of Satan trying to be more than we are. Because if we, without the Holy Ghost, go trying to fight Satan, he's going to eat us up. So we got to go in the power of God. Now notice, when Satan saw Jesus coming, they started hollering, Jesus, thy Son of God, what have I to do with you? What? They was afraid because they know their day is coming. And Satan has to be subjected to God because he's not as powerful of God as God is. He cannot do the things that God do. He can't destroy God, but God can destroy him. So this is what we need to look at. And for heaven, the hope, I mean for helmet, the hope of salvation. We got to want God. We got to want to see Jesus. We got to want to make it to heaven. We got to want to be in that new Jerusalem. We got to want to praise God and be excited about it. We should, every time we think of what God has in store for those that love him, should just jump, shout, and praise him and thank him, hallelujah, for what he's doing for you. Thank him for you making it to heaven. Thank him for you seeing his face in peace, even if you be here another 100 years. Praise him every day. Okay? Verse 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, there are many thoughts that need to be taken down, need to be broke down, need to be gotten rid of. Because there are several ungodly philosophies that has a hold on people and got them in bondage. And those spiritual strongholds need to be torn down. There is a lot of things that have you in bondage. That's why you should read your Bible. So anybody, and I use the word just anybody because you got so many different religions out here, can come and tell you anything. And you believe it. You read your Bible, and somebody come telling you all this junk and mess, and it doesn't line up with the word of God, then you can tell Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. We could tell Satan to get thee behind me, Satan. For God's word and only God's word is what I hear. People get mad, but I'm going to tell you, you have to stand up for God. I told my doctor the other day, and I know he got upset, but I didn't care. I said, I don't want no doctor that don't believe in God and don't believe in prayer working on me. He said, well, Ms. Parks, I guess you're going to have to get you another doctor. I said, I guess I will. And I didn't feel bad about it. Because if you don't have no Jesus, I don't want you doing nothing on me. Nothing. So now, we have thoughts at war against us. You have pride. And you say when you think about this, all this, pardon me?
I just wanted to stop you for just 1 second. I was trying to get it so you didn't change it. I just wanted to say, ask you that I really appreciate you starting at the top. We at the head, the leadership needs to know that we can't be all puffed up in ourselves, and I appreciate that because the people look at us and they see, well, if we fighting and all that and we lying and cheating and all that, then what's the use of them changing? So I thank you for that. So I just wanted to interrupt right there because I don't want you to go somewhere else and then I come back with that. But thank you so much for that. Start with the leadership, the head.
Amen.
We need to know.
Amen.
And all that. Thank you so much.
Amen. Bro Tim, thank you for that because the leaders got to know. We got to tell people what thus say the Lord according to the word of God, because if they're lost, we don't want that on our head. We got to pay for that. And that could possibly send us to hell because we caused somebody's soul to be lost. So we have got to be careful how we carry ourselves, the things that we do. That's why we ask forgiveness every day of our life, because as our thoughts and our ways is not God's way, we don't know we sin over something we might think is simple, but God might think it's not so simple. So that's why we ask for forgiveness every day, and we try to live according to the will of God. But see, we must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if man give you word that is not, does not add up, or don't say what God's showing us in the Bible, then we don't need to follow that person. Now, we have thoughts of pride. You know how people get all puffed up and they so proud because they got more than somebody else? That's not the spirit of God. You can be sitting in a house that costs $15 billion. Guess what? You don't have Jesus, you ain't concerned about Jesus, then you live in your heaven right now. But hell, it's your home. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how much money you have. If you don't have Jesus and you living in this big fine mountain, amount of this fine mansion, showing off your money, your cars, your clothes, your this, your that, and your arrogant ways looking down on people, then hell is your home, because that's not the spirit of God. And our Bible tells us, some people will live their heaven here on this earth right now. I don't want my heaven on this earth. I want my heaven to be with Jesus. Because while you're living your heaven on this earth, this is only temporary. And when you die, hell is your home. Because you have already lived your heaven. So we have to be careful. Even if you're rich, we still need the Holy Ghost. I don't care how much money you got. Still need the Holy Ghost. You need to be walking down the street like David. See, David was able to knock down a lot of strongholds because his hope, his faith was in God and not in man. And even when he sinned, he still, his hope and his faith was in God, but he went and repented to God because he felt like, and which is so, God is the one that he needed to go and repent to. Why should you repent to man? You ask man, if you hurt a man or you hinder a man, you say something to hurt their feeling, you can say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? But that's the extent of what you can do. Now, and another thing I was looking at on this, sometimes we say we're fortunate. Sometimes we say we're lucky. We were lucky. Sometimes we say we took a chance. Don't you know you cannot be fortunate if God don't allow it? Don't you know you have no luck if God don't allow it? I don't care how many chances you take. It is worth nothing if God don't allow it. I don't care if you take chances and win a $50 million lottery. If God didn't allow it, you would not have had it. And oftentimes you hear people say, well, I was lucky. And I tell them, what luck? You had no luck. I don't care what you have. But it was God that allowed you to have it. We get the worldly things confused with the heavenly things, or what confused with what God give us. We get it totally confused. And when we get something, we don't praise God. We don't. So when things go bad and everything that we have has been lost, we have lost it because we wasn't living worth a flip. When things go bad, then we want to fall on our knees and shout and talk to Jesus. Where was we when we had all of this? Why didn't we get on our knees and thank God for what we had and acknowledge and recognize to God, Lord, I thank you for you gave it to me. So when Satan comes to take it away from you, you don't have nothing in you to fight it. Because while we're trying to fight man, we got to recognize it's not the individual person that we're fighting, but it's the spirit that is in them that we are fighting. And some people have some strong demons in them. That's why we have to pray. That's why we have to stay prayed up and read up. You know, some days I just don't feel like reading my Bible like I normally would. But you know what? I'm going to get on there and I'm going to read my verse or two if I'm going to read. If not, I'm going to get on there and I'm going to listen to me a whole chapter. But you got to have God somewhere in your life, every day of your life. Because he sees us. He knows us. There is nothing that we get or we have that he don't know because he gave it to us. So why are we turning our back and we can't shake all these problems that we have because we have turned our back on God and we don't acknowledge him? We don't even go back and say to him, Father, when I had it, I ignored you. Father God, forgive me. So we have got to be careful because I'm going to tell you, all of these things that we get ourselves involved in, these strongholds, we cannot shake it. We are boggled down. Satan keep us down. And if we could just get our hands on a Bible and start reading. Once you get that Bible and you start talking to God and get a little bit on your feet, it ain't got to be 100%. Crawl your way to a man of God so you can get some strength that can help you shake those shackles that's on you, that can help you get away from the thing that's holding you down, that's keeping you out in the world where you could possibly be killed every day. And we don't ever think, well, God keeping me out here, I'm doing all of this. Lord, I'm on drugs, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. We never think that if we would just get on our knees and pray, God will help us. He'll send us somewhere to get us some help. He'll send us to a man of God that's not so arrogant, that can put his arms around you and talk to you and say, God loves you, and help you to be saved. But we want to go to these churches, these big churches, where only thing the pastor wants is your money. Don't care nothing about you. Don't even see you. Only thing he wants you to see is that offering plate as it's passed around. So we need to get ourselves together, because we got to recognize these strongholds that's holding us down, that's not allowed us to be saved, that take our mind completely off of God. And we just can't call on him. Satan don't care about you not calling on his name. All he want is he got you. That's all he care about. He got you. So we have got to work on getting loose from these strongholds. We got to cast down all these imaginations. Because we get too high-minded.
Yes.
We get too high-minded. Pardon me?
Oh, I just said yes. I agree with you. Yes.
We get too high-minded. As soon as we get to begin to understand the Word of God and get to preaching and get to teaching, get even make a deacon in the church or doing God's will in any shape, form, or fashion, we put ourselves upon a pedestal. And we send ourselves up for a great fall. Because when we do that, we are not obedient to God. So God let things happen to us. We ignore him. We walk in good with a big smile on our face, with our head up in the air, long as we doing good. And then God let Satan take control and tear you down. Then you want to call on Jesus. Why do you call on him while you was doing good?
Sister Mary.
And then we have that self-righteous pride. We think we the best things since sliced bread. We think we are so good. None good but the Father. And we only good if God say we good. We think we are so good. And it is dangerous, because it is the name of goodness that many of the world's most evil acts are performed. Because you have proclaimed yourself to be good, and people have listened to you and believed and counted you as good, and you have set that person up, not necessarily you on this phone, but I'm talking in general about people, you have set that person up to destroy them. And you see preachers in the pulpit where they have people that follow them or do anything for them, And as soon as they come to them for any type of help, whether it's money or not, or just need to talk, they push them out the way. I don't have time. But let somebody come up with a whole lot of money and they need to talk, then he make time. While you destroy that person,
not looking at the fact that
you're destroying yourself.
My.
How can you help a person get loose from these demons that are in them if you don't have time to talk to them and tell them about Jesus and tell them how to be saved? That person's blood is on your head because you pushed them away. We have to be careful about everything that we do. We should walk day by day with a mind, I want to please Jesus. I want to please God. Not trying to please yourself. I'm trying to get over on somebody. That's not the will of God. And while you're doing that, you're up in the pulpit every Sunday. Well, let me tell you this. God sees you. He sees you. He know you. He know your thought even before you did it. And see, the things that you're doing prevent people from knowing God. You might be the person that God directed that person to so they could be saved. But what did you do? You pushed them away. See, we destroy people. And the fact that that person have faith in us and we destroy that man, we shackled that person.
My Lord. Mama.
We didn't give that person the chance to get to know Jesus. We did not tell that person about Jesus. So we have destroyed that soul. And that soul from there is like, I'll never go to church again.
We
have to be careful. When people ask you, minister, elder, bishop, evangelist, missionary, deacon, whatever you are, even if you're armor bearer and you know the word and you got the Holy Ghost, when people come to you and ask you for help, they asking you because they need it and they're trying to come out of that world and they can't do it alone because Satan has such a stronghold on them. They don't know how. They can't fight. If Satan is not going to fight against himself, you can't fight. But what do? You push that person away. And God is not pleased. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
If the Son makes you free.
It is our job to tell them about the Son. Tell them about Jesus. Don't push them away. It's a blessing when people come to you out in that world and want to get to know Jesus. Tell them as often as they come. Tell them how to get past the shackles or the situation that they're in. Pray with them. Give them scriptures to read. Tell them about Jesus. Talk to them about those scriptures when they come back. Treat them like a newborn babe.
Yes.
So that they can grow in the word of God. But they can't grow if they don't understand. They can't grow if you're not helping them. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, you can have the Holy Ghost and Satan is still getting you. So that's why you have to stay prayed up. That's why you have to stay read up. That's why you have to stay wrapped up in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of glory of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I'm going to read that again. "In whom the God," little g, "of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, should shine unto them." So what is saying here, Satan is keeping you blind. And that's why you should go where you can get some help. You can go where you should go, where somebody can tell you the word of God. And if they don't want to be bothered, you go and find somebody who will. Everybody's not going to push you away. And see, a lot of times we think, well, Jesus is not necessary in our life. Brother and sister, yes, he is. He's the only necessary thing in our life. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They are necessary in our life. And we think sometimes, oh, we don't need Jesus. Don't you know that's the spirit of Antichrist? Don't you know that's the spirit of devil, of Satan telling you you don't need Jesus? Yes, you do. And we listen to it. And when you hear somebody say, or even if you hear it in your mind, because Satan will speak out in your mind, saying you don't need Jesus. You got to be able to stand and say, Satan, you're a lying wonder. I need Jesus. I need God. I need the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Those that know the truth, every one of us that know the truth should acknowledge the truth. If you know the truth in God, if you know the truth about Jesus Christ, if you know the truth about the Holy Ghost, if you know about repentance, you should acknowledge the truth. It's what keeps you obedient to God by constantly acknowledging the truth. And in your error, you should also acknowledge your error so that you can be saved. Go to God. If you're ashamed to tell man, God already know about it. He wants you to talk to him. Go and tell him about it. Glory be to God. God got so many ways that we can come to him. He got so many people he got that can pray and pray for you till those shackles are loose and you are free. For whom the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, set free, you are free indeed. Now, our weapon in this spiritual battle is not carnal, but mighty through God, as we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So once you transformed, once you have received the Holy Ghost, once you got the word, once you got power, then you have something to fight with. You shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost has fallen upon you, has come upon you. Now, Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And truly at this time, praise God. In my closing, I certainly hope that somebody got something out of this, because it is God's will that we all be saved and come to repentance. See, we have to repent before we can receive the Holy Ghost. Repent of our sin. Everything that God brings to your mind, repent of it, because he'll bring it to your mind. He'll bring it to your mind so fast, and it can get so agonizing, but don't give up. Don't give up. Repent of it. And whatsoever God bless you to do, whatsoever he bless you to be meek, be humble, and be willing to do whatsoever God have you to be, and most of all, be obedient to God in his will. So
Sister,
I just thank God for, pardon me?
Before you close out, Sister Marin, I had a question or thought to you that you can finish it up. You know, when you said that, I heard you really talking, and I took it that some of our people who are on the phone listening, they don't even realize how much, the way that the devil torments us, and he comes at us and he presents stuff to us, where pride comes in. And we have to be prayed for, and we have to be prayed up, because we go through the same thing. You know, the temptation of sin is not just for those who are not in Christ, but it's for us who are in Christ too, because I heard you say you can be saved and the devil will get in you and cause you to do something stupid and say some bad things to people. So we're not 100% perfect, but what we do, we know who to go to when we mess up. But just remember, my brother and sister, Sister Marion said that we get tempted too. We're not above the law. I mean, we get tempted too. So we fall short sometimes. But we just have to continue. And I thank you because you really touched on the leadership today. And it starts with us. And we have to realize that we are a team. There ain't no I's in team. And that we have to always work together, because I need you and you need me. Each one teach one.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. So thank you, Sister Mary. Great, great teaching today. I got a lot out of it today. So thank you so much. I just wanted to say that.
Praise God, praise God. So at this time, before I close, I'm going to first ask Brother D if he have any question, anything he want to say, and I want to ask him for a closing prayer.
Amen, amen. Praise be to God. Yeah, I want to say this, and we'll pray. Brother Tim, in reference to what Brother Tim just said, Brother Tim said, we need prayer too. Even I've told many people, Satan, the Bible says that sin crouches at your door.
At your door.
You know, when you
want to
sneak up on someone, if you want to sneak up on someone until you crouch down so they can't see you, that's the purpose of doing it. He wants to sneak up on you. Now, Satan, see, we need to understand, Satan has no real need to crouch down at me if he already have me. He just touches base with me every now and then to keep me on his side. But when he have launched you and you done converted, you know what I'm saying, you've been converted, now he's crouching at your door. So Bro Tim told you some truth. Yeah, we have a need for prayer just as bad or worse than the sinner, because Satan is truly going to knock our door down. Why? Because he feel like he has lost. And believe it or not, Satan hates to lose. Hate you, hate to lose. That's why you put a stumbling blocks in your way, sister, brothers. Satan hate to lose. I promise you hate to lose. I promise
Brother
you
D, do. Brother D, before you pray, just give me just a moment. Give me just a moment. Sister Emily, are you there?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, dear. How you doing?
I'm pretty great. I just wanted to say that was a very great word tonight, and I hope a lot of people were able to hear it or to go back and listen, because that's one that everyone needs to hear.
Praise God. Praise God. And thank you for always, you know, when you let us know when, you know, you hear something that's really touched you, and that's a blessing, Sister Emily. And thank you for listening. You not only listen, but you hear. And that is what's so important. You just keep on calling us, and we'll keep on giving it to you.
Yes, ma'am. I'll meet everyone, though.
Thank you so much, Emily. And you have a blessed rest of your day.
You and y'all as well.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, at this time, we do thank God for Sister Emily. I pray for her. I pray for her whenever she pop on my mind, because she wants to do better. And that's why we pray for people. So at this time, Brother D, I'm going to ask you to say our closing prayer, please.
Amen, amen. We're going to whisper a word of prayer. We pray before we get out of here. And we pray that you would pray along with us and ask the Lord to continue to bless, continue to heal, and ask the Lord to continue to guide you, because we truly need the Lord. Can't make this journey without him. No matter how we try, how much money you have in your bank account, in your pocket, okay, what fine car you're driving, I can promise you this, sister and brother, you're going to truly need the Lord on your side.
Yes.
If you bow your heads, give God your heart. Give God your heart. Give God your ear. Pray along with me as I pray. Father God, we come before you this evening. Stop by the throne of grace, Lord, just to tell you thank you. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us to see another Wednesday. One that will go in the record books that we will never see again. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to congregate again in your name. For you said in your word, where two or three assemble together, that you would be in the midst. And we thank you, Father, for stopping by right now. We thank you for blessing
the
service tonight. Praying, Lord, that something was said that would touch someone's heart to make them ask themselves, what do I do to get to know this man? What do I do to get up out of this world of sin? Father, knowing that you said in your word, you stand at the door and you knock. You said, if any man will let me in, I slept with them and them with me. Father, we thank you for the suffering right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We ask that you continue to bless. Continue to keep us, Lord Jesus. Continue to bless these services that we're doing. Continue to bless the morning service. Bless God's plan. Continue to bless our Tuesday service, Lord. Continue to bless this Wednesday service. Continue to let your angels rest, rule, and abide around us. Knowing, Father, where you are, there's truly liberty. Father, we know that where you are, there's no sin. We know that sin cannot, under no shape, form, or fashion, sin cannot stand where my Lord and Savior is. So, Lord, we ask that you just continue to keep your loving arms around us, continue to guide us,
bless
those that touched the one boy tonight. Bless those that wanted to say something, was afraid to say. Bless those that had a desire to say something, Lord, but didn't know how to. Praying that upon next service that they would open up and just come on out and just tell you thank you for blessing them. Lord, we know that
thank you
are the way. We know that you are the light, the truth and the light. And we say yes to your word right now. Lord, we ask these blessings among many in your darling son Jesus' name. In every heart say amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, Brother D. And I know behind that prayer, I know we feel a little better. It's always a blessing to hear a word that's prayed up to God. We thank God for that. And before I turn to Brother Dog, just to remind you to be back with us again on next Wednesday night, same time, same channel. And just be encouraged, for God always have a word
be
for
encouraged.
You. And on Tuesday night, Brother D, same time, same station, please be with us on that night as well. And Brother D, on weekdays, 8 o'clock, I believe, in the morning, Brother Eric's show, God's plan.
8 o'clock in the morning. God's
just
plan.
Know that God has a plan for us. We just got to open our eyes, open our ears, and receive. So I just thank God for all things. Thank God for this day and at this time. Without any further ado, we will turn the service into the hands of Brother Dawg. Brother Dawg?
Amen. Amen.
Get your house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Oh, I woke
just as lonely as the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind.
The Lord a great big hand praise.
Come
praise
on,
God.
Now.
Have you ever been burdened down with so many problems until you didn't know what to do? You run and tell your neighbor looking for comfort there, but only to find out that they're having the same trouble or the problems that you have. Well, here's a psalm that tells you what exactly you need to do.
Y'all got a couple of things you want to finish up with. I'm at a remote location and I got noise. So if anybody got nothing to say, after y'all get through, I'm going to go ahead and knock this thing on off here if anybody got nothing to say. But Fair Warriors, y'all, mic is still open for another, y'all 30-second brief, if you don't mind. Go ahead on. Good coming today, Sister Mary. Good coming.
Amen. Amen.
Brother D.
Let me say this.
Let me get in and get go ahead, D. Come on,
Brother D. Come on.
I was just going to say, Brother D, it's in my heart. Brother Dog got my feet wanting to run and my hands want to clap, Brother D. I'm trying to hold back a tear, but I'm trying to say this, Brother D. We got an awesome team here, and I think God is pleased. I think that he's proud. I think that he knows that it's in our heart to do what we don't do what we do for pay. We do it for a reward that God is going to look at. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's rock this place. Yes, I love it. Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Amen. Right,
man. Oh, yeah.
Right. There's nothing to me.
Brother, be quiet. Let's pray while you. Let's pray while you. Emily, get in there. Come on in there, Emily. Let Emily get in there for y'all before you go to Mary's home now. Come on in, Emily. You back there? Emily, where you at?
Right, dude, where my name was talking on mute.
Yeah, but go ahead on, Brother D. Y'all go ahead on. I just wanted to go. I had a mic open, too, so I was going to let us in. But go ahead on, Brother D. You and Sister Mary. Go ahead.
Amen.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Praise God. You know, I was going to say is that, you know, you come up on that true gospel. Well, we used to call it the gospel rock. That was you come up on that, and it does something to the heart when you hear it. That song said, "If you want the Lord to fix it, Brother Dog, I'm gonna say this and I'm gone. Verdell said a while back, he said, if you don't bump into the devil during the course of your day, he said, you must be walking with him. You ought to think about that sometimes. You all, as listeners, do it, you all should really think about what Brother Dog said. If you don't bump into Satan during the course of your day, you should check yourself in the mirror and see who you're walking with. Because evidently, you're not walking with the Lord Almighty. Because Satan is crouching at your door. He comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. He has nothing good for you. He show you something that it looks like a true diamond, but it's nothing but a piece of glass. Now is the time, sister, for us to get on board. While the blood is running warm in your veins, get on board. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Back to you, T.
Amen. 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 I just thank God for this day, for this time. You know, any time that I'm able to tell somebody about Jesus, it's a privilege to me. I don't consider myself nobody. I'm just little me. It's so excited to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, I don't feel like there's no big me and no little you. It's not the will of God for us to think that way. I just thank God for Jesus that he blessed me, gave me a little bit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that I could carry his word. And I just thank him for that. And I certainly hope each and everybody got something out of it. And if you want to read for yourself, go to 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter and read it for yourself. If you have any questions, when we're back on Wednesday, ask. We will be delighted to enlighten you with whatsoever you want to know.
Amen.
So y'all pray most faith in the Lord as we all pray for you.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Dog.
Finish something?
Yes, sir.
I remember when I was growing up, I used to hear the old folks sing this song. Oh, I didn't understand what they were singing about, because I really didn't know what they were going through. But now that I've grown up to become a man, I understand what they meant when they sang this song.
Precious Lord, take my
you want to make, any call out you want to do, whatever, we here to listen. So Mary, go ahead and get on out there, just in case somebody hit the one button with some trash. So Mary, so get on out here. I don't see Kid or Wheelchair today. They didn't hit neither one of them. They hit the one button today. So gonna be okay because I'm down here at Dawson tonight. They got a few grudge races going on, and I'm gonna get off him. Then I can go live, so I can. Some people might appreciate me going live since they don't appreciate their prayer show. If they do appreciate it, I can't tell the day to day. They've been a little slack today now. I ain't seen nobody. I ain't get no good texts or nothing today. I'm glad Sister Emily came on. Otherwise, I figure won't nobody get nothing out of it. We got 85 people on the show. I know somebody should have been. You went, what you was on here for? I said if you got something to say, hit the one button there. I mean, we got 84 people on there now. What you expected today? You know today was the prayer day. Plus, after the prayer show, we would cover anything anybody want to cover. So I'm still waiting on somebody to say something. Now, I might get what I ask for if I keep asking. I really don't want nobody to hit the one button because I'm ready to get out of here so I go live. But I will entertain anybody. Anybody got anything? Anybody got anything? Going once. Anybody got anything? Anybody got anything going one and a half? Anybody got anything going one and three quarters? Anybody got anything going one and three quarters of a three quarters? Okay. All right, Chuck. That's all I got. Okay. Anybody got anything? April Fool's.